You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel. Let me promote my book. Oh, that's Cocaine and Artichokes or something, that picture that I got up. Okay. Let me promote my book. I mean, you already know next week's show is going to be about the book. At least 2 hours. The Entrepreneurial Secret, Volume 1, 2, and 3. Volume 1 is on the political economy. It deals with how culture, politics, and economics affects entrepreneurship and business. Man, this is a good book. Again, the only thing wrong with this book, it doesn't have the strong new ink smell. You know what I mean? And a lot of information here. I challenge you all that are in business that only vote Democratic. You gotta vote more than just single party if you are pursuing your business interest. I talk about my time with Cynthia McKinney, advising her on entrepreneurship issues. Volume 2, Business Principles. That's when I get into a lot of my fun Wu-Tang stories. If you're in business and you don't want to hear nothing about politics, you just want to get straight to the how to write a business plan, how to negotiate, business etiquette, how to standardize your business, get the gold joint. Volume 2, The Business Principles. Some good stuff in here, man. Again, I got like 3 chapters that deal with a lot of my Wu-Tang work. All positive. I think the Wu-Tang members in here, I learned powerful business lessons from all of them. All of them. Every single last one of the clan. Plus, of course, Mook, Divine, RZA, and Power, whom I love deeply. And then 3, The Personal Struggle. This is the gory volume. This deals with what you got to go through with your family, thinking that you're crazy, trying to start a business. How it affects the changes you go through. Starting a business and getting into an intensely creative act is a lot like, I won't say childbirth, but you go through a lot of symptoms. They even analyze people medically, what they go through. So we'll talk about that, the mental catharsis, neurosis, and the gentleman from, the coach from Texas Tech, what did he call people who are on Twitter? He says they have narcissism. Let me play that audio again. Some of you that are hating Twitter, you have powerful support from the football coach of Texas Tech. Let me find this audio. I think his name is, was it Mike Lee? I don't know his name. Let me find this. Hold on. I got my notes here. Y'all know what movie this came from, what I'm playing right now? Yeah, Mike Leach from Texas Tech. Listen to what he says about football players and other people that use Twitter. I love it.
Texas Tech coach Mike Leach has banned his players from using Twitter after a player noted the coach's tardiness to a team meeting in a tweet on Sunday. You can't do that. A day after the Red Raiders lost by 1 at Houston. The Lubbock Avalanche Journal reports linebacker Marlon Williams asked on Twitter why he was still in a meeting room when, quote, the head coach can't even be on time. That tweet and Williams' page has been deleted.
The policy is nothing football related outside of football, you know. So, I mean, it's any way you look at it. Little Twitter things that relate to football is a violation of team rules. And if somebody plays for us, they don't have a Twitter account. And if I find out they do, well, then action will be taken, and that's all there is to it.
What is your overall thought of college players using Twitter? Do you like that usually, or?
Are you kidding me? I mean, I thought we covered that. I think Twitter's stupid to begin with, and I think anything that's a distraction is stupid. I think that a guy that plays college football gets more than enough attention, and if they don't get enough attention, I've got GAs and I've got student assistants that'll sit there and listen to them embellish stories and talk and say all their stuff and tell them how great they are all they want. Okay, they don't need Twitter. And so, no, if you play for Texas Tech, you don't have Twitter. Yeah, I'm not going to sit around with a bunch of narcissists that want to sit and type stuff about themselves all the time. You know, I mean, you know, we'll put mirrors in some of their lockers if that's necessary, but they don't have to have Twitter.
Mike Leach, you are the gangster of the week. I love that man. Even though I don't agree with him, I love Twitter for business purposes. Oh, speaking of which, JawiEra.com is the website. JaweEra.com. Hope I'm spelling it right. JawiEra.com. You want to know more information about the book? I think booking Jawi for speaking engagements and other things, I think you can do it through that site. Maybe he'll come on soon and talk to us. Let us know what he's up to. I believe some folks trying to make a movie based on his life. Somebody said I didn't promote the book strong enough. They want to see the book cover again. Hold on. This is volume 3. The Entrepreneurial Secret, my book. Next week, we're going to talk about it in detail. It's available at blackelectric.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. Volume 2, The Gold Joint. Okay? And volume 1, this is a light money green. For you people in aesthetics, okay? The Entrepreneurial Secret to Starting a Business Without a Bank Loan, Collateral, or Revenue. My first ever book. 3 volumes, 200 pages each. Priced very affordably, don't worry. Let me see if I got any more audio I wanted to hit. Governor Patterson, we hit that. Floyd Money Mayweather again. You crazy fight fans out there, let me give you a little taste again. The man that sold 1 million pay-per-views because he knows how to market himself. Or he has a team. Yeah, shout out to the team. This is Money Mayweather's team. Richard Schaefer, who I guess is on loan from Golden Boy Promotions. Leonard Ellerby. Al Heyman. And again, Alan Heyman is real important. Alan Heyman is the man that put on all these Budweiser Superfests in the 80s and 90s, these rap concerts. He's an advisor to Floyd Mayweather. Very important. Al Heyman, Leonard Ellerby, and I guess Richard Schaefer part of the time.
Where Floyd stands by 1 week after his conquest of Juan Manuel Marquez. And Floyd, your performance, its effectiveness, exceeded even the most optimistic expectations of your greatest admirers at ringside. I have to wonder if you were even better than you thought you would be.
I felt good last Saturday. And the main thing that I wanted to do was just go out and display my skills and just be the best that I can be in the sport of boxing. And, you know, after the 2-year layoff, I came back. But I think I could still improve, and I feel that I still can get better.
Our experts, Emmanuel Stewart and Max Kellerman, both thought you might have been going for a knockout in the 9th or 10th round. I wasn't really sure. I thought you were just fighting your fight. What was it?
I was pressing the attack, but Marquez is a very solid opponent. He's tough, and he wouldn't go down for nothing. So, you know, hopefully in our next fight we can get the knockout.
And incidentally, tracking at apparently over 1 million pay-per-view buys, so I guess you made your point there as well.
Well, I'm just blessed, and you know, I just want to say thank you to all the fans that tuned in and bought pay-per-view. I appreciate the support. Mayweather Promotions is going to continue to keep moving forward. We're looking for some young and upcoming fighters, and I let my team handle everything. Leonard and Al Heyman has done a tremendous job with Mayweather Promotions and done a tremendous job with my career. It felt good working back with my father, and it felt good working with my Uncle Roger Mayweather also.
All right, as we get ready to look at the future, we want to go back to the moment when Shane Mosley either intruded or was invited into your post-fight interview. And I want to set this up. Our viewers are going to see you motioning Shane toward you, and I'm also told by people who sat on his side of the ring.
They was already setting that up. I can see that. I guess Bernard Hopkins told Shane Mosley to get in the ring and you know, I guess be disrespectful. But like I said before, you know, Shane Mosley is a good fighter. I wish him nothing but the best in his career, and only thing I want to do is continue just to be the best that I could be in my career.
I'll tell you what, I think we can dispense with looking back at what happened last week because you've said what you have to say about Shane Mosley. Other future possible opponents would include Manny Pacquiao if he beats Miguel Cotto, Cotto if he beats Pacquiao, Mosley himself. Where do you lean? Where do you lean? The most money is the Pacquiao fight.
Well, it's really, like I said before, it's not about the money. It's for the love of the sport. You know, I love the sport of boxing, but of course, it got to make business sense. And in 1999, we tried to fight Shane 10 years ago. He turned the fight down. And then in 2006, when he fought Fernando Vargas, right after the fight, he said that he had a toothache and he wanted to go on vacation with his family. I guess now that he's 38 and his career is kind of coming to an end, and everybody know they can make, you know, huge money with Floyd Mayweather. You know, everybody is shooting shots at me. But I wish Shane Mosley nothing but the best in his career.
I got one more question. Everybody thought for months the fight was going to take place at 144 by an arrangement that was made at the last minute. You weighed in at 146. Are you finished with catch weights?
Well, any fight over 140 is a watchaway fight.
I agree.
I didn't want to. I wanted to fight and feel comfortable. And I also want to apologize to you, Jim, and Larry Merchant, Emmanuel Stewart, and Max Kellerman, you know, for what happened.
Floyd, we accept your apology. You know, we're observers of your career with interest and tremendously excited by everything you've accomplished and what we look forward to in
the
future.
I truly apologize, but I just want to continue to keep fighting. You know, like I said before, Leonard and Al handles my business outside the ring. When it's time to get inside that square circle, that's why I take care of my business.
All right, congratulations again on a triumphant return to the fort.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Let's get to the real reason why that man sold a million pay-per-view buys for beating up a lightweight. I got to do it one more time. Triple H of the WWE promoting Floyd Money Mayweather. This is how you cross over, folks. If you want to learn how to do marketing 101, you get Triple H to come walk you into the ring. You don't walk him into the WWE ring. You get him to come walk you into the boxing ring. One more time.
All right, Colonel, I've got a special introduction at this time. Now, that was a great show that we just saw on the monitors. In the world of wrestling and sports entertainment, there's a wrestler called The Big Show. And last year, Money Mayweather showed that he doesn't care how big somebody is. Big Show, 7 feet tall, 400 pounds plus. Broken nose, knocked on his ass by Money Mayweather. And here on the WWE is another great superstar, a legend of the WWE. 6 feet 5, 255 pounds. He will accompany Money Mayweather to the ring tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Triple thing. Are you ready? I said, are you ready to see the greatest fighter in the world, the pound for pound greatest fighter on this planet, Floyd Money Mayweather? His spot on the throne at the top of boxing. I hear a lot of comedians out here telling jokes, laughing, but there's a saying, he who laughs last, laughs best. And I got a feeling tomorrow night, the only one laughing is going to be Floyd Mayweather.
Wow, yeah. That's how you do it. Get Triple H to come through and co-sign you. Well, we refuted the teachings of Keith Sweat earlier. Now, for all of the women who have great male friends, you don't want to mess it up. I now have to speak against the teachings of Regina Bell. Every guy you meet is not going to be your husband, so stop it. The friendship is what matters the most. A good male friend will give you insight into your future husband. Regina Bell, teach and spread the propaganda. Sounds so good saying that, I'm going to rethink what I just said. Man, now if you had a friend saying that to you like that, you might have to forget what Brother Cedric Muhammad was teaching. You can't find R&B singers like this anymore. By the way, Regina Bell, all you Rutgers, New Jersey graduate or attendee. Too many women singing this to male friends. Enjoy the friendship. Yeah, she sounds good though. You could withstand this. Quite a man.
You're listening to the Ebony Man, Mr. Cedric Muhammad, and the Black Coffee Show.
Getting weak over here. I will see you all next week. Rod Guignon has certified this as an awesome show, which I'm grateful for. Geopolitics, economics, music, and motivation. It's the hottest show in the diaspora. Love you all. Next week. What do you say about the competition, Regina?